I'm here to tell you about Naptime Radio. It's a show for moms and dads, and these chicks are super cool.
Mac Daddy and Damia.
And they want you to listen.
Yes, we want it. We want it so bad.
I know you do. Heather and Kate offer helpful info for parents with their power naps. Oh, and did I mention? These chicks are sexy as hell, y'all.
Let's ride that train.
All I need is a ticket.
Let's eliminate one article of clothing for one meal. How about that?
Oh, now it's a party. So go to naptimeradio.com or click on the logo available on our site.
Nailed it!
I said, hey, listen to me. Listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. This is episode number 15. Here with me in Casa de Worsham, in what can only be described as the biggest clusterfuck week of my life, is a very good friend of mine. I call her a good friend. I'd like to think of you as a very good friend.
I don't even know your middle name.
That's true. That's what I'm saying. I wonder. I don't know if it's Facebook or just people have always been doing this that they call. I know that I have issues with intimacy, but not the usual issues that a man is supposed to have. I have issues where I become overly intimate with people.
I see.
Yeah, I'm not going to try and cop a feel on you. I'm saying.
Well, you can try. You won't find anything.
I beg to differ.
The thing about you is that you actually talk. Most men don't talk.
So yes.
You don't even let somebody get a word in edgewise, which is
already.
Why you're so good at a podcast.
How dare you? How already? You're going to throw me under the fucking bus.
This is why we're such good friends.
This is why. Because there is, well, here's the story. Shayla and I met at a comedy club in Sacramento. We've done a couple of like one-nighter shows here in LA. I was a fan. Always a fan of you.
Of me.
Of you.
Todo acerca de mí. Él es un fan de mí.
Yeah. I have two listeners that are Mexican. One of them understood what you said.
Yes. You'll get a call.
And they're friends with each other. And they're like, one just translated it to the other one via Twitter. That's what just happened. But so we met in this comedy club. I instantly fell in love with you because I got
Say
to hang out
again.
With you. I instantly fell in love with you. I'm having a beer. And here it goes.
Dang it.
Here it goes. Let's see if this is going to work. Hold on. I'm going to hit pause because I have. Well, nope. Maybe he's going back down. Yes. Okay. Good. Fucking hell.
Folks, you don't need to know what happened.
Fucking hell. How old are your kids?
My kids are 27 and 24. They're not kids. They're adults now. They're gone.
That seems like heaven to me right now.
It's awesome. They're so wonderful. They're gone. They're out of prison.
Oh, that's good.
And out of the Navy.
That's great.
And they're, you know, their own prisons. It's great. And I don't know where they are. And mom's address is a P.O. box.
So if you were to flash back in time and see that PSA, like, do you know where it's 10 o'clock? Do you know where your children are? Like, no, I don't give a fuck.
No, actually, I don't know. Yeah. For a while I did, you know, probably the jails in Harris County and then...
Well, okay, let's backpedal then. Backpedal to Sacramento, and I think Jack is going to shit on this whole thing right now, my youngest son, because Shayla was here at 1:30. It is now 2:30. I was supposed to be ready to podcast while he slept. He's not ready to wake up. He's not supposed to wake up, so I'm going to talk through this one-way monitor and go, you shut the fuck up. But
he's actually talking to his son, folks. This is a good father right here.
Yeah, I am. Well, they know how bad I am. That's what I do. I lower the bar to make them feel better about themselves.
You got
to
get ready for the real world.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. That's what I've talked about that. This is also why I was very excited. I've been talking to Shayla about doing the podcast for a while. Now she's since relocated from SoCal to Tejas.
To Austin. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, let's gather your thoughts, Justin.
Okay. Come back.
Sacramento. We met. We did a week together. I had already seen you at One Nighters. I was already a big fan. You seem to enjoy me, which is, I think, what made it into a friendship. We've since done many a show together,
yes,
I will say.
Have.
Shayla is very privately the one big champion of my career. So
I
appreciate
am.
I get a lot of phone calls from people going, yeah, Shayla said I should call you. I'm like, thank God somebody thinks I should
then,
be being called.
Oddly enough, right after that, they never call me back. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, I do tell them the truth about you. and that fucking Daryl. Daryl is her, what is it? Can we call him man toy?
You know, he's,
boy toy? He's, I feel like he's a goatee means you cannot have a boy toy. He's wearing a goatee, so he needs to be a man toy.
He's just one of these guys that seems to always be happy, but he's not. He has these man moods.
Really?
And
things shift on you?
Oh my God, does he ever? He really is. He says I PMS, which by the way, there's an application for PMS tracking.
Yes, I'm going to get one.
I think there's...
Not that I need it for my wife's bitchy moods. I just need to know when I can throw down the mojo. I don't want to throw down mojo if it's not going to lead to anything. You know what I mean?
I really think somebody needs to write an application for the UMSs that you guys have.
Oh, really?
Ugly mood swings. You guys have like the ugliest freaking mood. For real. This guy, you know, you see him? He's just all nice and pink cheeks, rosy cheeks and everything.
He's a very sweet guy.
Oh, my God.
This is what I like about hanging out with the... We go out on the road. Daryl is not only Shayla's boyfriend, but he also helps out with her booking and all that stuff because he's a sweet guy. And so I go out and I'm kind of the third wheel with them, which is a ton of fun for me.
I love it.
Because I'm a big fan of Daryl. I'm a big fan of you guys. You make me laugh. And so I have a different perception, though, of Daryl. I see Daryl in the public.
Which is what I like.
You see the Daryl that walks around monkeyish, probably scratching a lot.
I see the naked Daryl, the raw Daryl.
Yes.
I like it when you were there because you guys talk to each other and then I can be left alone. I prefer that myself.
Well, this is what one of the things, too. I don't want to forget to bring this up on the show because I guarantee if any of you have seen Shayla perform, you will remember not only her face, but you will remember her for this little gem of a nugget that she has. Jack, you better not be crying.
He's crying.
Oh, boy. All right. I'm going to hit pause and then we'll get more on this later. And we are back.
Yes, we are. Do you know Jack, where you were?
I was dealing with shit and as the... Literally, I wasn't being figurative.
Did you smell your fingers?
Literally, I should probably wash my hands, but I'm a dad. I don't give a shit about shit.
Why?
Shit is my life. I live, eat, and breathe shit. I eat shit for breakfast.
You were saying if you have ever seen my show, you would remember this.
Okay. Thank you for that. I didn't need the recap, but I appreciate it.
You didn't?
It.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm so excited about this. What I need is a what?
Hairbrush.
I know, right?
Your hair's kind of funky. Funky. Yeah.
So, I also want to comment on how winded I am from going up and downstairs. Carrying a 25-pound infant.
It's only 7 steps.
I'm in dad shape. I'm in dad shape. That means that I walk about 15 feet every day.
Have some more beer. Have some more beer.
Oh, thank God. Sweet Jesus.
Yeah, he has to. You know,
it's not even low-carb beer. It's not even like a Michelob 64.
Why?
Because I'm not a homosexual.
No. And you don't, why? Natalie's already, you're already.
That's right. What's she going to do? Find somebody else like my mother-in-law wants her to do? Oh, God. Anyway.
What if you find somebody better?
I know. I'm a fucking bitch. Anyway. So anyway, Shayla has this joke that she has that I don't really think it's a joke. I think it's more of a PSA, and it's about scrubbing your nether regions.
Oh, that, your Area 51.
Yes, and and it's funny because I had to tell you when I worked with you in Sacramento, because before it was just like a one-nighter or whatever, that it's a weird thing that it induces in men, that literally every time you were in the shower and you were cleaning your downstairs, you think of Shayla Rivera. That's
I am so glad to know that there are hundreds of thousands or maybe hundreds of men.
No, I'm going to say it's almost in the million. If you tweet that shit once, you could literally be in the minds of every man. You get more thoughts when men are touching their junk than playmates.
Well, I really think it's because I really make it clear. I paint the picture. There's an area between the huevos and the culo right there.
And that
51.
Is balls and ass for the gringos that listen.
Exactly.
Again, I only have 2 Mexicans, so don't alienate my audience.
The hind of your testes and the beginning of your booty.
Yeah.
That needs some scrubbing.
Scrubbing, yeah.
Yeah, it ruins the moment. You know, you go down there. Women really like to go down there because people want to please you. But then
really?
It's like, dude, is that your ass I smell? Seriously.
So you got to get it all.
Should have prepared.
Now, do you prefer clean shaven? Do you think that is a thing ladies prefer? Or
the Brazilian?
Yeah.
You know, I really don't care. Daryl, though, would like for me to shave his nuts.
I don't really
think that.
He wants you to shave it for him?
He's freakier than you think he
is. I believe it.
Really
I believe
is.
That's a little S&M-ish.
Yeah,
like, what if she cuts me? Yeah.
Look at him.
Yeah. What if she gets all Puerto Rican on my balls?
I'll say, honey, I'll just do the wax, but I'll do it the manly way. I'll get some duct tape. And he never wants to.
Really?
No, I don't know.
Being such a pussy, Daryl.
Yeah,
it's really funny because Daryl's in the room that doesn't have a microphone.
I love
so, that. So that's how, I guess, the quote-unquote genesis of our friendship is that nice. You stuck in my brain because I clean myself and then I throw a little, you said, throw a little extra soap. Go down there again to make sure it's extra, extra clean.
You have no idea
clean.
How disturbed I am right now.
Really?
This is really
you can't be that disturbed.
Not really
you
not.
Cannot. Well, here's the thing is that I told you this because there are two parts of my body that I clean that I think of other women. Okay,
let's
there's behind my ears, which is my grandmother.
Okay.
And then there's my downstairs, which is you.
You know, if I am in good company then.
Yeah, right?
I am in good
She's
company.
A very sweet lady.
You know?
Very, very religious.
You just have to
Never going
to
hear this show.
Religious.
She is. She's super religious, but I love her to death. But so yeah, so I just think it's always made me laugh. So I tell you this the first time, and I was kind of embarrassed. Like it's one of those things that falls out of your mouth that you wish you could instantly suck back in.
Yeah.
And you said, you go, you know, I get that all the time. And I felt relieved and intrigued at the same time that you would be confronted by so many men. I go, just
right.
comics? You're like, no, people. People that have seen me before will come up to me and go, I think of you every time I wash my junk.
And that's the thing. Male comics go out there and women just like, oh, they approach women. Women approach you and, oh, you're so funny.
Yeah, yeah,
and they're
yeah.
so attracted. Everything men approach me and that's all they
that's
talk about.
You know, I clean my junk so balls. Good. I clean my balls like
they don't even ask me to clean their balls. They just say
they
I
just
clean my
to
balls.
Tell
they
you.
Just want me to know that I.
It's kind of you have this weird like maternal influence over a lot of men. That's funny.
Man,
like
what
it.
A curse.
I like. Well, here's the other thing I want to talk about because I think you can. Your kids are grown and raised. Let's talk about this so I don't forget. I have a teenager. Well, I have more than one, but we have a couple of teenagers at least that listen to this show. And they like it because they get insight into what their parents think and feel and stuff like that. And this one kid wrote into the show and he said, I got a bitch. He goes, you guys complain about how scared you are of teenagers becoming stupid and kind of getting assholish or whatever. He's like, well, what about having the teenage perspective on here? And so
okay.
I go, I'm on board. Yeah. So I'm going to pull up his email while I'm thinking about it, too. But he.
What did he say?
He said, hold on, let me
Teenagers
find it here.
Teenagers and perspective are two things that don't really go together.
I know, right?
You know what I mean? Well, I'll say perspective, which is not like the correct or good perspective
yeah.
yet.
He
you
says,
gotta get a couple of stretch marks before you get a good perspective.
Yeah, real perspective.
Yeah.
Real deal homie
exactly.
feel perspective. You need to have some miles on you. But he says, I told him, I said, send me what you complain about. And he says, this is the teenage view. My view on parents is they always kind of hover over you like a helicopter, always asking you questions about who you like and who you're dating and stuff about friends and stuff like when your friends are over. My parents just seem to stay out of the way, which seems to be a good thing most of the time. But when guys have girls over, they are always looking over your back, it seems, and it gets really old, which is why teens sometimes sneak out just to get away from everything. I hope this kind of helps you understand the teenage point of view. Email me if you have any more questions. I did have more questions, but I just wanted to get, what are your thoughts on what
well,
he's
right
saying?
Well, right now I can tell you this is why teenagers don't know shit.
Yeah.
Okay, that right there, it tells you that, that you're asking the question is, why is my mom hovering when I have a girl in my room? If you have to ask that question, okay, dude, come on now, get real.
Because, but he knows. He knows that's why, but he's trying to say, he knows that it's because something could happen. I asked him, I go, well, you kind of understand why they do that, especially when you have a girl over. And he's like, well, yeah, but, you know, still, I want
to
touch some boobies, I'm imagining. He didn't say that, but
I understand that. But you see, this is what I used to ask my kids.
Okay.
And maybe it'll help you one day.
Yeah.
Because it trumps them. And this is what I will ask him, whoever he is. Do you think that I have more in my whatever many years of life, do you think that I may have more experience than you and better perspective? Maybe you think that I know more than you do. My kids hated that question because they would go, yeah. Well, then shut the fuck up and do what I say. Because one day you will be saying the same thing I'm saying
right
now.
Exactly.
There isn't one person that wasn't a teenager at once, which we all were,
yeah.
that grew up to be a parent that don't become
their
what
parents.
He's complaining.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
You know, come on, let's just make peace with it and just go sneak and go to the park and just do or touch your boobies in the park.
Yeah. Do it. It's been that way for hundreds of years. But I think I talk about it a lot on the show is that there seems to be this weird shift of parenting that the modern parent doesn't do that. The modern parent is supposed to, you know, have something short of a swingers party for their friends and their
right.
kid and their kids' friends when they're teenagers. Like, okay, everybody put your student ID cards in a fishbowl and let's see who comes up and then just fill holes. I'm okay. I'm hip with it. I'm cool. There's blow in the bathrooms if you need it.
Which is because they want to be cool.
Yes.
Which is why I'm so glad to be Puerto Rican.
And they want
to
be friends with their kids.
Yeah, I don't want to be cool and
you don't
I
want to
be your friend.
No.
I just want you to do what I tell you to do. That's it, because I'm paying the bills and because, you
right.
know, you ain't got no money. You don't know shit. Just listen to me. if you listen to me, you'll be happier. I'm pretty cool. You know, you're very cool. I'm very cool with them. I let them know. You know, I don't really keep them from doing everything that they want to do, but they know better. I mean, come on, don't expect me. Don't come to me and say, "Mom, you got to love what I." You know, like my kids have tattoos. I don't like tattoos.
Yeah,
I don't like them.
Yeah,
you know, they keep my daughter. You know, whenever she disappears, you know, and I text her and I call her, she never calls me back. I know she's doing something like that. I'm like, oh, she must be getting a tattoo. Sure enough, I'm going to send you an email of a picture. She was getting a tattoo, and she actually had a sign in front of the tattoo artist going, so sorry, Mom. She knew better. The thing is, I'll let you. I love you anyway, but, you know, don't expect me to be you. And parents out there, come on. Just be a parent.
Yeah.
Just be a parent.
It's hard. I feel like I'm coming out of a weird cocoon phase that, because when I first had Jacob, my oldest son, it's been like a prevalent theme in the show lately, is that I talk about how, like, I'm trying to do things the right way, this progressive way. And now I've developed this a little bit more of a fuck you attitude. And I think it might be because my second one is old enough to really move around but not old enough to not sleep through the goddamn fucking night. Which puts you in a weird hellstorm of borderline child abuse. And then I don't like that my life, because this is the other thing I want to talk about. I'm watching an episode of Jesse. Now, there's the picture.
I'm not even lying.
That's hilarious.
So sorry,
Mom. I love you. And it's a neck tattoo.
very Latina. Neck tattoo. Yeah. I so hate it right now. I so hate it. I really do. I love her to death, but, you know, it's like, seriously, sweetie, come on.
I mean, she's got a shit eating grin too in the picture. You zoomed into her face and she's like,
I hate her. I do. At the same time.
See, it's funny too, because you have this, what now would be coined as an old school approach.
Absolutely.
Where it's like, you shut the fuck up. Yeah. I got this.
Right.
You do whatever the fuck I tell you. Right. You don't have an opinion.
And
it's irrelevant to me. You know what I mean? And you still have this nice, wholesome relationship with your kids we joke that they're getting a tattoo and you don't approve, but she sends you a picture with a smile. There's love.
Which tells me, I love, at the same time that I hate what's happening, I love.
You love the relationship. Right. Yeah.
She's 24. What the hell am I supposed to do?
Yeah, you're done, right? You fucking.
I'll just, you know, I won't talk to her anymore.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, good luck with that. So here's my point, is that now, I used to worry a lot about damaging my kid, and now I'm not worried about it. And it's weird, because it has a lot to do with the fact you hear so many stories about the fucked up things that people are doing to their kids. And maybe that's a reason why a lot of people, like I joked earlier, a lot of people listen to the show to go, oh, I'm nowhere near as bad as this fuckhead.
Right, exactly. It's like, you know, you can't be pretend parent. You got to be a real person. These kids, I mean, look at the horrible thing that happened in Colorado not very long ago. And the thing is, I really think if you just be real with your kids. So they hear you say fuck once or twice. You know, guess what? They're going to hear it out there.
And I thought there was something wrong with me, because I even had a conversation with friends of mine that I really cannot wrap my mind around the idea of trying not to curse around my kids, because I just feel like I'm a grown up.
Well, I call it pretend. You gotta, if you parent by pretending that the world is according to this parenting thing and, you know, we do these things properly and everything, then they go out there and they get friends that are, you know, screwing their girlfriends right there in front of, you know, they get confused. You got to balance them out. You got to let them know, look, it is what it is. Don't judge. That's
my realization was that my life is, I realized that there's a severe shortage of people contacting me to tell me how special I am and how amazing I am. I don't know.
You're very special.
Thank you. But you're the only one. That's, again, going back to my joke earlier. You are the only one who is calling or having people call me and go, I think you're very special. I would like to give you money for being so special.
Come share your specialness.
Exactly. Share your specialness with the world, because you are so amazingly unique in your own little build. Like, in fact, it's more often that I'm trying to say, no, I think I'm kind of special, guys. I think I got something. Just please look at me. Please somebody look at me. Is there anybody here interested in me?
Come on.
You know what I mean? But now there seems to be that the philosophy seems to be that you are supposed to make your kid feel, you're just supposed to blow sunshine up their ass till the cows come home and make them feel amazing. And I'm not, here's the thing. I don't want to sound like I'm getting on a soapbox of saying, be more verbally abusive to your children.
Right,
you know,
no,
I'm just saying there's a difference between taking them down four pegs on an everyday basis and building up things that aren't really there. I think that I agree with you, and that there's a real world that exists in the middle of that.
Well, you don't, it's not like you curse at them. you fucking this
maybe
or fucking,
I do.
Okay,
maybe I do.
But they're young. You're going to stop that or now.
That's going to be hard. Because I'll be honest. Because here's what happens to me right now.
Oh, I forgot. You come from what?
A rednecks.
Okay,
a redneck
that's
wolves.
It, that's it.
Which I think, I've heard your material. I think it's very close
it is
to
really.
Black and Hispanic
and, yes,
people.
And very,
I really think that rednecks, that's the white version of a minority,
brown,
if you would.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And that's so, there's this level of like, I've just now started doing it where my son will do something just kind of really dumb and I lose it. I just go, right. Are you fucking kidding me right now? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, but that's not to him. He's, you're not offended.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going,
personally,
fuck you.
Personally, his character.
Yeah, no,
right.
No, you're right.
Just,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I mean.
I see.
And you're not
I'm looking
that.
At him and I'm
exactly.
cursing at
you're
the world.
You're not calling him a you
yeah,
fucking,
fucking piece
whatever.
Of shit.
Exactly.
No, I don't do that.
That comes later at 17.
No. Yeah.
you know, according to rednecks.
well, to get back to it, what kind of got us onto this is that I sent him a question. I said, out of curiosity, why do you think they act so differently when a guy has a girl over? Is there and is there a compromise you could put out so that you can enjoy your privacy, but your parents feel like they know what is going, what, if anything, is going on?
Funny that you ask put out. I think that's the problem.
Yeah, anyway, that's what they're trying to avoid. And he says, I think they might act weird around them because their parents just looking out for you, so he gets that, and they don't want stupid stuff to happen. And I think by stupid stuff he means, you know,
is the kid that comes that might come after that.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And then that they're gonna have to fucking raise and forget about it.
Yeah. And it's so funny because like when I was a teenager and sex even was on the door, like I was so afraid of making a child that I don't even understand how it could happen. Like I remember going, like, because we had the one girl in high school. Right. There was probably more than one, but there was at least one that I remember that got pregnant, and I was just like, wow, like how does that happen? And I don't, my stepmom, she got pregnant at 16, right. Had two kids. She's amazing mom. I mean, she's my stepmom and kind of saved my life, to be quite honest with you. You know, she's amazing. So I'm not saying that they're all bad. I'm just saying it's not the ideal situation.
No,
and she did
happen.
It and would even say, hey, that's not the way it should have been.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it can happen. That's all. I mean, you know, I got pregnant and that's why I had, you know, my son and my daughter from the same man. And then I fixed myself. But I was out of college already.
Oh.
You know, I grew up in a super uber Catholic upbringing. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't, you're not going to believe this. I didn't even know what oral sex was.
You shut your face.
Until I got to college.
There wasn't a nun that was explaining to you what oral sex was
they
in a high school setting?
They might have been
doing
it over there with the priest, but I have no idea. I really didn't even have a conception of what that was.
So you didn't know like cunnilingus or fellatio, like you had no idea
none.
Of either way.
None.
You
just,
you're like, mouths
it
go
wasn't
down there.
Even that something ever entered my
can
mind.
Can I be so bold as to ask how this happened? Like when was it first introduced? Was there?
I don't.
Because here's what I like it to be
in the
American Pie movie. The way this would play out is that he meets you and you're this nice. You have to wear like the traditional
right.
Catholic schoolgirl
right.
outfit. You know what I mean? And then he's like, he's in the backseat of some car and he's like doing the. And like kind of
yeah.
nodding like this, and you like you just look
it's
at
like,
him
where
like
where are you going?
He's got some kind of Tourette in his head, you know. And then he does like the old school lean, but then he's like pushing with the arm, like trying
come
to
on down.
Borderline get you in a headlock. To, you know,
it's like, what do you want me to do, man?
So, so
you can
like,
sip down your own pants.
Can I? Do you feel comfortable sharing this in front of Daryl, who's already tuned out? That was hilarious. He was looking at my
carpet. I don't remember. I don't remember. I just remember getting.
Not knowing.
I just remember realizing that I did not know about this until I was 17, 18 years old.
Right. So you're already in college. College is where that was.
That's where it
exposed
just,
to
I
you,
was like,
you
wow, boy, missing out.
Let the good times roll. Now, what do you think? Because I have a theory because I was not sheltered, but I have other. I've seen other family members
and
that were
sheltered.
And
you turned out all right.
I did not really.
Yay, well,
I do fine.
Yeah, you turned out.
I hug my kids, you know.
Really tight sometimes.
Sometimes. I do.
That's a joke. Folks.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a joke.
You come see me live. I'm gonna be come to a town near you. I don't know why I have to do
bring
a character to plug my dates. But anyway, yeah. So do you think that growing up sheltered set you up for more issues? Like, you know what I mean? Like this desire to overprotect, which is I think also kind of what this kid is trying to fight against. Is that don't helicopter parent me. Give me the information to do something responsible so that I can be responsible. Trust me that I'm not going to knock some chick up. You know what I mean?
I tell you what, it just, you know, looking back, I really did grow up in a different, I don't know if I was sheltered so much as it, just the way it was, you know?
And then that's true. It was more of a, yeah.
And then when I had my kids, boy, my kids slapped the reality of life into my
you.
Life.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I mean, first of all, my daughter is gay, you know.
That's
I
right,
I had
yeah.
no idea that, you know, when, that's a long story. You'll see the movie someday. You know, so she slapped me into realize, you know, the whole thing, and my son, you know, my son got in trouble at 17, and then he ended up getting in more trouble, and, you know, he's been in and out of different little troubles with the law a few times, and then sometimes just absolutely not his fault, but we won't go into that either. But it just kind of gave me a perspective of, if there's one thing I can tell you, you cannot judge anybody.
Yeah.
You don't know the whole story.
Yes.
Just because somebody is sitting in jail, for instance, you really don't know what's going on. You don't know what really happened there. You know, you got to get the whole story. And we don't do that in this country, in this culture so much. We just kind of go, oh, well, if he's in there, then he deserves it somehow. If she's gay, well, that's something, you know.
Something happened in her childhood.
Yeah, something.
Did you, when she came out to you, I'm sorry, tell me if mm-hmm. this is not okay to talk about.
Oh, we can talk about it.
When she came out to you, did you at any point blame yourself or have that moment of what did I do?
I had a huge moment of confusion.
Yeah.
I had no idea, you know, and what I did was, of course, I said, you're not, it's just somebody trying to, you know, fishmeckle you or whatever. Fishmeckle. Is that
did
Jewish?
You just drop a Jewish term?
That's hilarious. Hollywood. It's Hollywood.
She jumps from dropping Spanish to Yiddish. Holy shit. Holy
you
shit, that's
the
hilarious.
World. The world changes you, man.
Her boyfriend is Irish. So just so we know exactly where they came from, you said.
I don't know where that came from.
What did you just say?
Fishmeckled. She was fishmeckled. I don't even know what fishmeckled, but it's fish.
I think you put it on a bagel. That's hilarious. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, going back. Backtrack.
Yep.
Let's see. How did it happen? She was going to stay overnight with a friend. She said, mm-hmm. I'm going to go with a friend. But her parents want me to come meet them, you know, which makes sense. When you're a responsible parent and your daughter's going to go stay at their house with her girlfriend, then, you know, meet the parents, whatever.
But this wasn't her girlfriend. This was just a friend.
What the hell did I know? It was a girlfriend. Yeah, it wasn't her girlfriend,
right.
But it was her love interest.
It was at the time. But now, do you know that the other girl's parents, did they know?
They must have known, because when I got there, I thought that they were, I met the parents, I met the younger sister, and then I met the brother. I thought it was a brother, but it was actually this girl.
Oh, that was
and my daughter
saying.
Was in ninth grade. She was like a 11th grade.
Oh.
So, and she was also, come to find out later, bisexual. So she kind of was this promiscuous type of person. So that was my very first inkling to realizing that my daughter was... I thought she was in danger. That's all I thought. And I had to, being polite, leave her there. Oh, okay. Well, she's going to spend the night. That's great. I went to the car and I drove around that house for hours.
Like trying to do, yes.
I was talking
I've
to
been
God.
In that
I'm going,
mindset.
What do I do?
Yeah, what am I supposed, yeah.
What am I supposed to do? What I did? So I finally just kind of, I stopped. I looked over the fence in the backyard where she was sitting with a friend. And I said, Alex, we got to go. You got to come with me. Mom! And then that started the next 3 years where I kind of went into a denial type of thing. And then she finally, you know, looked at me one day and said, Mom, I just want you to love me the way I am. And I realized I have a lot of gay friends mm-hmm. that are very cool people and everything. But it took me a while to, you know, just really accept. I don't know what I was accepting.
Yeah.
Because I already accepted
it. It is a
gay.
Weird thing. Yeah.
It's just, I don't know if I felt that she was going to suffer or
I would
failed.
Imagine it to be one of those moments where it's like once you're out of it, that it's, you know, like you ever have a conversation with somebody where you feel like you're having this real big problem, you have a real big tough spot in your life, and then they give you this answer that's like, oh, no shit. You know what I mean? Like, I would imagine it's a similar mindset, tastes the same as that, where it's like, I feel like my body is having a reaction to this, but then you kind of, once you wrap your mind around it rationally, like what you said, I have friends that are gay. It's like, why do I get it? Does it really matter? Am I going to love her less? Am I going to love her differently? Like in the big grand picture? No, it's not.
Right.
And what does it doesn't matter what I did or anything, because this is the now. This is what's in front of me.
Correct.
So who gives a shit? It's irrelevant, completely irrelevant.
Yeah. And what I see that it's really sad is that I do a lot of shows and I tell jokes about her being gay, you know, and stuff like that. And I always get a gay girl after the show or something will come and say, I am so glad to hear your jokes. How did you do it? I wish my parents were like you and stuff like that. And I always tell them this. I say, you got to give them time, you know, because it does take a minute. And I know these girls or these people want to be loved, but at the same time, they have to understand that we have to walk through mm-hmm. whatever we have to walk through to get there. And I tell them they'll get there. And if they don't get there, you know, you'll just have to deal with it. That's life.
Yeah.
You know?
I like that. Because instead of painting, I think that the modern society we live in wants to paint the picture of like, quit being a fucknut. And this is the way it is. We're here. We're queer. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and I'm not saying that it shouldn't be that. Right. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be that way either, or should be that way. It's just that I think that it's more realistic. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of seems to be the common theme that's coming, is that the realistic expectation is that it's new. It's a developing part of our culture, and that it does not just, we don't just snap a finger. You know what I mean?
You can't demonize your parents either, because that's what you get. You get a lot of demonizing of, oh, my parents reject me. Give them time. They also have to, you know, make it as easy as you can. I'm not saying that it's okay to reject your child, because it is not.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, give them a minute. You know, if they're going to come to it, they'll come to it. And eventually, I really think most of the people do come, you know, to peace with it. And I have to have
that queer, because I would imagine, too, like, imagine if you had resisted heavily and then later on you kind of figure it out.
Oh,
like,
I resisted heavily.
You did for a while.
Oh, my God, did I ever. I really did.
Like, to the point of bringing guys to, like.
No. Man, I didn't try that.
Signing her up for J-Date with your mishpuka.
I should have done that. This guy is going to straighten you out.
Some kind of Lexington Steel type situation. Like, maybe if we just get it bigger and better.
Yeah. Try this, honey. Just try it.
For a living.
I didn't know about this until I was 17. Try. Just put it in there.
Just taste it. It's going to be off-putting at first, but I scrubbed
just
him.
Just kiss it.
He's
kiss
clean.
It. No, it was... But the thing is, if you have to... You know, you do... It's a challenge for everybody. You just kind of have to breathe and just go through it. That's all you can do. You can't do anything.
And it's funny because I used to volunteer at an elementary school, and because I was going to be an elementary school teacher, and I recently went back to that school, was helping out the teacher, and because she's a friend of mine now, and there's a kid in her class who was very flamboyant, and she has a very like down to earth, realistic, like, you know, she kind of says, like, she has the same philosophy we're talking about, is that there's a real world that these kids will have to live in. And granted, they're only in second or third grade, but I treat them as if the real world is. I'm not going to talk down to them. I'm not going to talk to them like, oh, well, it's okay.
Right,
you know, that
kind
of thing, which I always respected and appreciated about her. And one of the things that I thought was interesting was that there was this kid who the mom like seemed almost overly cool with it. Like she was looking at, she goes, I don't really care either way, but it's like, it's almost like the mom is trying to like even go push it over the top. You know what I mean? Like,
like trying,
which I think is an interesting, I mean, even like Adam Carolla kind of joked about it in his book, recent, that 50 years we'll all be chicks, where he goes, you know, it's funny, he said, people are really worried about gay rights and everything now. And he goes, I imagine by the time my kid's going to be older, he's going to be made fun of because he's not gay. Like, why are you not chugging that cock? What's going on? You know, what's wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, it's going to like overcorrect on some level.
Right.
He wasn't complaining. He was more commenting on how silly it is that we're fighting it, you know, but you don't know that until it's over. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like if you try to tell somebody in the 40s that black guy over there should be the same as you, that doesn't even equate. Whether they're malicious, mean, or you could call that, they could be the most intellectual person of that time. But it's just there's an ebb and flow, as unfortunate as it is. That's just the way it is.
And it is. And, you know, if you look at that, I mean, it's the wonderful thing about, my mom used to always say this, and I finally got it. You know, if you want to know about yourself, and the book is coming out soon, if you want to know about yourself, just kind of check your adages, whatever maxims you keep repeating to yourself, you know, things that stick with you.
Tell me what those words, adages and
adage
maxims.
Adage means, it's a kind of a metaphorical thing, like the early bird gets the worm. If those things that you keep repeating to people, or you say to people, money doesn't grow on trees, or you can't always get what you want, stuff like that, check yourself when they come out of your mouth, because that in there is the root of the things that you believe. And if you compare it to your life, you will absolutely see that you are walking hand in hand with those.
So you're saying that by teaching it to somebody, that's something you're not living by? Or you're saying that by teaching it, that is something that you build your entire life on?
By teaching it is you. It's all about you. It's individual.
Yeah, you're really saying it to yourself.
It's coming out of your mouth. Yeah, it's what you truly believe. We're not clear on our beliefs. We really don't know what we believe.
Yeah.
We think we know stuff. We know definitions of things and everything. But that's not what you believe. What do you believe? So you got to get into the core of what is... Now I'm getting all the spiritual.
Yeah.
Getting to the core of what you believe, it's hard. So one of the ways that you can do that, one of the doors you can open to get there, is start paying attention to these things
that are coming out of your mouth.
Because they really will mean something to
you. So, for example, when I say to my son, are you fucking kidding me? Is that applicable to your theory at all?
I have no fucking idea what that... That isn't a metaphor for shit.
So seriously. I need a metaphor. Because here, I like this. I want to... I just want to try and figure out...
You need a metaphor.
All of my... Here's what I thought when you said this. All of my repetition is said to my four-year-old son up there. That's all of my repetition is right directed at him. I say the same goddamn thing again and again.
Exactly.
And I watch him tune out. And so I wish... So it's
you're
like...
You're molding him. You know that.
But here's... Oh, I get it. But I need a metaphor. Like a one in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Fucking kidding me means to him will teach him that, you know, he is not direct language.
Yeah.
You're not asking him to change something or do something. You're kind of making him figure it out, which is not easy for a freaking what?
Yeah, 3-year-old.
Come on now, please.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's also making you unreachable. It's like there's no answer to your question.
There's no guidance.
There's no guidance and there's no answer to you. It's like, I've been fucking
getting psychological on the dad podcast.
I'm not sure what dad means by am I fucking kidding? I don't know.
Well, yeah, you're right. Because this would play into what your mom was saying too, in that my dad.
I never said what my mom said.
Well, yes, you did. You said I didn't. I'm sorry.
No, those were me. What my mom used to say that shaped my life is she always said, the best thing God made was one day after another. And that's when I said, are you fucking kidding me? The hell does that mean? And for most of my life, do you hear it in your head? You hear it, you hear it, you hear it. You're like, okay, well, I kind of get it. One day after another, well, we get to live another day or whatever. Things get. No, you know, it's that things do change and that your perspective does kind of, you know, you're... Times change, your perspective change, you will mellow out, you will go with the times. And if you do not feel good today, tomorrow will come, you'll understand better and better and better. And I think that really helped me with these two numbnuts that I have, you know, because they really put me through. They didn't put me through. They went through stuff and I had to walk with them. Because when you're a parent, you got to walk with them, you know. So, you know, I just kept that kind of, that's a good adage for me. It was kind of like a good, there's a bunch of negative ones in my head too, believe me, which is why I do comedy. But you know, that one certainly made me kind of go like, okay, I can do this one more day, tomorrow will be, you know.
But I like too what you were saying about the, are you fucking kidding me? Because it's interesting. It is, as much as we were joking about it, is that one of my complaints that I quote unquote, I call them quote unquote complaints. Mm-hmm. I had a good childhood, but my dad never taught me. So that's the thing that I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do with my son. I'm going to do a little differently. I will be a teacher. I will guide him.
That's good.
But in actuality, I'm just going, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. How can you not figure this out? It's not hard.
You're not giving him an out. Are you fucking kidding me? How does he answer
now,
that?
Now, where I do think I'm okay in that there is a lot of time, because I think I've had this, probably both, with my father and my therapist, I've said the same thing, where it's like, I try to go, okay, the first time something happens, I go, okay, this is what we should be doing, right? And then so it's like, the last time I said, are you fucking kidding me, was eating over a plate. Right. Mm-hmm. So he likes peanut butter jelly. I make him a peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Right.
He eats it and I remind him. I say, okay. And when I put it down, I go, remember, you got to keep the mouth over your plate so it doesn't drip on your shirt or on the floor. Okay.
Right.
He's like, got it. And so I go, where does your mouth go? Over the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Turn around. When I come back, leaning back like he's Al Bundy with his peanut butter
and
jelly.
And then you say,
I say, hey, where's your mouth? Oh, and he goes back. I go, see, over the plate.
Right.
And then usually it'll always happen at that time. He'll bite into it and a piece of jelly will fall on the plate. And I will say, see the jelly on the plate?
Right,
jelly could have been on your shirt. But because you listen to dad, it goes on the plate. That's why we eat with our mouth over the plate. See, son, that's what we're doing here.
You took credit. Okay. I did take
credit. So he goes, and then something else happens. I'll turn away to do something. And then when I look back, he'll have jelly on his shirt. And that's when I'll be like, are you fucking kidding me? That's
You know what happens to him there? He goes like, what happens there, you become, did I tell you that I used to do stress management corporate training?
No,
understand about stress.
This is just I like where the show is going. It's a moment, side that I did not anticipate.
It's a moment of stress that happens. Whenever a moment of stress happens that they don't have the intellectual.
Yes. My therapist said. He doesn't have the ability to
understand what you mean by that.
Yeah.
So what happens is it comes to a stop right there. Oops, sorry.
No, it's okay.
To a stop right there. And he kind of like, it just, those are the things that will, you know, become just really stressful in his life. You know, it's like when somebody overreacts to something he really doesn't understand what is going on.
Fuck.
Exactly. Exactly. You're turning.
Is that really what I needed to hear?
Nice.
Is that what I need to hear? That I'm fucking up my kid? Is that what you came in here to tell
we
me?
We are all fucking up our children. Are you kidding me? Please. We're all fucked up ourselves.
You try so hard, though. I was thinking about this today. There's two more things I want to talk about, but I like this where this is right here. Is that I wonder, like, I go because I have this ideal of a family. You know what I mean? It's almost like it's a less capitalistic version of the Joneses in that you have this ideal of a family that everybody's happy and they're hugging each other the perfect amount. They're kissing each other. They're just the perfect amount. Not to where it's like creepy and tonguing in the kitchen. You know what I mean?
Grabbing ass
or, you know.
Yeah, groping. No.
Yeah, just short of a knuckle deep in somebody. You know what I mean? Did I go too far?
Depends on the knuckle.
And then there's... if it's a thumb, that's inappropriate.
That's not good.
But a finger, that's love. No, but there's this idea, and then there's the opposite of that, which is like nobody's touching each other. Nobody's talking about their feelings. You know what I mean? So everybody's doing that the perfect amount, and then that yields this great child that is not entitled and appreciative, but at the same time is not insecure. You know what I mean? So I have this like vision of that family that exists in my head, and that I have to try to meet that, but I don't necessarily have the tools. If you really think about
it. Because you're leaving out something very important,
which
is the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Your family's family, but there's the rest of the fucking world. And it comes through television. Not just friends and peers and whatever, but it comes through TV. It comes through friends that talk.
That leads me to my next
thing. Hearing you talk to a friend. It's different than what you do with your family. So, you know, you're leaving out way too much. I have one theory about children. If you want to build their self-confidence, well, there's two things I say. But there's one thing that's really important. If you want to build their self-confidence and make them normal human beings, let them make you laugh. If you let your children make you laugh, means you let your children affect you in a positive way and you let them see that, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
That's it. You don't need anything else, you know, because people, you know, they're always trying to control and Trump and whatever, and they're crying.
He's not crying. He's weird. Here, I'll put him on here. This is what he's doing.
I'm saying, let them make you laugh. What is it? Laugh, baby.
They do. We laugh a lot. That's nice. So that makes me feel a little bit better. So I got to stop saying, are you fucking kidding me?
And
laugh at him. So when he makes me angry, I just laugh at him.
Well, next time you say, are you fucking kidding me? And you catch yourself, then turn it into something funny.
I did do that today.
Just grab the jelly and put it on his face or whatever, you know. Or since you want to wear it, let's put it on and just make it
funny. Ruin his shirt.
Yes.
And then start crying myself.
And then apologize to your wife. That's all you do.
She doesn't clean shit in here. I'm the bitch in this relationship.
I love her.
But here's so you mentioned TV. This is the other thing that I saw today on an episode. I started to say this earlier. On an episode of Jesse, you're not aware. This is a sitcom for children on the Disney Channel.
Yes, I'm not aware.
It's the pilot episode where they bring in this nanny who is played by a girl who looks all of 16. She's taking care of a ethnically diverse a house that is this mansion, this beautiful mansion. They have a butler and everything. And the parents are played by an actress. I know Chip Esten is the dad, and he's a successful movie director. And they say, she's the supermodel turned actress business mogul? You know, like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Uber successful parents, right? But guess what? Guess what these parents don't do? They don't make time for their children.
Of course not. They have a nanny.
Yeah, they have a nanny. And the nanny has to raise these poor children because mom and dad don't have fucking time for them. Why? Because they're too busy building a fucking palatial estate for these kids. You know what I mean?
Which they will probably get killed for when the kids are 20. And, you know, once they know they're in the will, then, okay, it's just, mom and dad, we're going to go to the movies.
Start
you
slipping
watch
some arsenic
tonight.
In there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right,
eat
and that's
this.
The thing. Like, I just, like, I, for whatever reason, I've seen multiple examples of this, but today it just fucking hit me like a ton of bricks that I'm so tired of television and entertainment that I am fucking paying for.
Right.
I'm the one who's footing the goddamn bill, and yet it's marketed to them. And what you're going to do is you're going to shit all over me.
Right. What you're
because
doing.
And make me feel guilty or make my kid
make
think
you
I
less.
Should be guilty.
Make your family less. You know, somehow I'm a less model of what, you know, successful family.
Right. Well, that coupled with the fact that the idea that by working, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you're working at all and you don't have the time to witness every fucking, you know, BM that they drop, that you're a shitty parent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck is that? That is horrible, in my opinion. You know, and the fact that that these kids have all this stuff and everything, like, that's also not dressed upon.
Right.
Like, you want to really be socially satirical about the world we live in. Let's talk about how these material possessions for these kids aren't really important. And let's talk about the real world. No, he's fine. What could possibly... Oh, we could put him back here, though.
Yeah, he's...
See, he's just talking.
It just... Sounds like the movie Signs.
He's up there talking.
Like,
Remember I should go get him. We should wrap it up. I'm going to wrap it up early. We'll go get him. And then we can have fun times and talking and I can make dinner. That would be fun. So that's that. I don't know. I just felt like it pissed me off. And then I was like, I guess, and I imagine when I thought of it, I'm like, there's got to be other parents that watch these shows that are like, just looking at it and going, either you're in that mindset where it's like, fuck you, like I was in, or you're in a different mindset. It's like, well shit, I guess that's me. What if that's me? Like, there's a fucking Nicolas Cage movie. I think it was Family Man or something. It's like, because he works and tries to take care of his family, he's a fuck nut. And we're all supposed to live this life of, you just sit around with your kids all goddamn day.
No, you can't. My parents didn't do that. Nobody did.
That's the other thing. My dad worked his ass off, and I never once hated him for it.
Exactly. Mine did, both of them. And I all I remember is the summers we spent a lot of time together.
Yes,
we did. I didn't need mom and dad there from 9 to 5. I didn't need that, you know. So yeah, give me a break.
So I don't know. That pissed me off. So here's how we wrap up every show. It might be different. You can either choose one from when they were younger, I guess.
Right.
You're the first one that's had like grown ass kids.
Yeah.
That I've had on the show, but we do like a moment of the week. So we share like a moment that was cute or touching or that was, you know, that made us laugh that our kids did, you know, so like a moment of the week might be the time you got the picture while she's getting a tattoo, that kind
of
thing.
That was a
and I, of course,
week.
Have a little intro for that.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So, my moment of the week happened last night, and it was... I'm going to do the one that happened today. It was pretty funny, but it was an example of I had this moment. I was making lunch for the kids, and Jack can crawl up and down the stairs now. He's really good at it, so he's up there. And I had him down here. He crawled up and was playing with his brother in his room. And I had that moment where it's like, oh, that's sweet. They're being brothers. I could hear him up there talking and laughing, and I wasn't near them. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, this is why I had two kids. This right here is why I had two kids. And at that same moment is when I hear no. No, 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 Jack, no, no. And then my oldest starts crying, and then the youngest one starts crying. So I run up the stairs, and I go, what's going on? Are you fucking? No, I didn't do it. No, I said, what's going on? And I look, and they're both crying, looking at me. And I know this sounds like a bitch, but it's not. It was really fucking adorable. And my son is holding his finger, and what had happened was that Jack would taken a toy from him. And so he tried to get the toy back in a very nice way, and Jack bit him.
Oh.
His little brother bit him and drew blood. So
it's all the vampire movies.
Exactly. So, yeah, everything. No, but so it was this nice, sweet moment of them playing, but also immediately, as soon as I started to feel good about it, immediately was crushed. But what is more traditional sibling rivalry? Like, you know, like as soon as I was like, oh, this is why you have two kids, because they play together and they have fun and it's great for both of them. And then like, no, they try to kill each other.
That's always good.
So it's really sweet. And I'll piggyback, since I usually do one per each, but these are both for them, is that it was really a lot of fun. Is that my wife and I have, this is also why I think the Jesse thing hit really close to home, is that my wife and I have been really busy. Like, she's putting in almost 12 hours a day at her job. I'm going nuts at this building. We've got a ton of vacancies. And so I'm trying to, I do pay attention to them, but it's like, it's less than what I would like, mm-hmm. obviously. So I'm, you know, taking care of them and trying to do my job at the same time and doing what everybody does in life. And so I just decided, I go, you know what, we're going to have a movie night. And I zapped the Three Stooges because I thought that would be a fun movie for us all to enjoy. And we sat there, and there was a moment where all four of us were sitting there and we were laughing at this movie because some fat dude fell on his face and got hit with a piece of metal.
Awesome.
And it was just like, it was that nice little moment that you get every once in a while that's like, everything is right in the world. Everything. We're eating popcorn. These are those moments that you do all the bullshit for. You get shit and pissed on and puked on. But it was really sweet. And I got to look over at my wife and she looked at me almost like those fucking like a Hallmark commercial.
Yeah,
it was really nice.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I love it. So now you can do one for each of your kids.
Mine, yes. Yeah. Well, the one with my daughter definitely is this one that she was, you know, that kind of disappeared. She disappeared for a minute. I text her and she never texted me back and whatever. And then she called me, go, Mom, you know, I did something that I know you don't want to, but it's a tattoo and whatever, right? And then I go, no, Alex, I don't want that. And then this was after she got the tattoo. The nice moment was when she actually sent me this picture.
Yeah, the picture.
A picture that actually had her during the tattoo while she was not talking to me yet. No. She took a picture that actually said, so sorry, Mom.
That is a
somehow
really
I just really loved it, and at the same time I hated her for it.
Yeah,
but you know. And then my son's moment was great. We just drove here from Austin, and we picked him up. He came here because he had a bachelor party to go to this past weekend. They were in Las Vegas, so we dropped him off, and he's been with his friends all week. But the moment that was very sweet is he called, you know, on Saturday during the day after they had gone to the pool all day, and he's drunk, you know, of course. Mama, I love you, Mom. Thank you for bringing me. I'm so happy you're the best mom in the world. Thank you. I'm like, son, what are you doing? We're drinking at the pool. We're just having so much fun. We're going to go. And I go, all right, well, thanks for calling me. Thanks for including me. And he goes, I need $50. Yeah, you know, that's when you know you're needed. That always makes you go, oh, okay, I'm not out yet.
I'm this sweet thing. Oh, he loves. He's drunk, which is kind of cute,
and
but he loves
me.
And
then he's like, Mama, I love you.
And then he
like,
brings it home. I need $50.
Can you hook it up? All of a sudden, he sounded very, very sober. Hey, I need
now,
50.
Did he hook you with the mushiness of Mom and say, or did you immediately go, motherfucker?
I did. Motherfucker. All right, I'll try.
That's awesome. Well, give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Don't forget to click through the Amazon banner at thedadpodcast.com because they give us a little extra money every time you buy something from Amazon. It doesn't cost you anything. So all it does is help this show. That's all it does. If you're like, hey, I don't buy shit from Amazon, and for whatever stupid reason, I don't use Stitcher, but I still would love to support the show, do me a favor, grab an episode that either said something that you know maybe a friend is dealing with parenting, you think it would make them laugh or whatever, go to thedadpodcast.com, click that episode. You could email it to them or you could share it on your Facebook wall. A lot of you guys are retweeting the episodes or sharing them on your Facebook wall. That helps a ton. My buddy Kevin has been doing it with the other podcasts, and we've gotten a lot of response off of that on the other end. So because it's just me, I just need some help here. If you guys could help spread the word, that would be totally dopealicious, as I say. So on behalf of my good friend, was there anything else? You could find Shayla at funnyrocketscientist.com.
Yep.
You could find out if she's ever coming to a city new you. You also mentioned a book, though. Is that?
Yes, I have a book coming out. It's ABC. It's called Awareness Begins Change.
Ooh.
Baby.
And that's a little bit like what you're talking about.
Kind
with
of
the,
what I'm talking about, but with
the adage and what was the other word you said?
Maxim.
A maxim.
You know,
that
not the magazine, but
not the magazine.
Man, sweet. Good Lord. Okay.
So is there there's a newsletter or something they could sign up so they can know when the book is released at the website?
The website is going to have the book, but it's going to be a link to the new website, which is the awarenessbeginschange.com.
Yeah.
It's going to be coming out very soon.
Good. Well, I'll throw a plug. Let me know, and I will also throw a plug out here. So thank you very much. On behalf of my good friend, Shayla Rivera, this is Justin Warsham saying stay frosty.